you only can go far if you do it yourself, because this is not a solo practice, right? You need a team, because if you're dealing with a single family, your duplex residential side, I think you could be Superman. You could do everything yourself. You can have that automation system. But if you want to come to the commercial side of multifamily, now, you know, the lender sees the deals differently. They see different credibility. They will see how as a team you can tackle down and if you could really close. So unless you network with people and find a partnership, you can only go so far.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Yosef Lee is a full-time attorney and also a multifamily syndicator. Yosef, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sam, for having me. Very excited to have you.
Hey, man, the pleasure is mine. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me where did you start, where are you now, and how did you get there?
Sure. I'm a South Korean immigrant, father of two, full-time lawyer in New York City, and real estate investor, more so multifamily. I started my real estate journey about 2 years ago by stumbling upon the book Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad and Poor Dad, which changed my mindset totally. And then we coupled with some life experiences where I came to the conclusion that I needed to create some sort of passive income stream or sustainable income stream so that no matter what my kids want to do, no matter what happened to me, knock on the wood, I have some sort of financial fortress to protect my kids and family, right? So that's how everything started. In the beginning, as usual, as everyone, analysis paralysis, but I took serious steps by joining real estate investors group, Jake and Gino, NMIH Mastermind in February 2020, right before pandemic, and with the goal of closing my first deal in December 2020, which happened in December 2020. Yeah, and then through that, it opened the door for the second deal, March 2021. We did our second deal, a syndication. I got a job offer in March of 2021 from one of my mentors. And with the team together, I became co-GP of five more deals thereafter. Now, fast forward, as a GP, I have about 560 units. And we're working on the next deal to be closed in about a month or two.
That is amazing. And you're a full-time attorney.
Yes, sir.
What type of law do you practice?
It's what do insurance litigation, mostly personal injuries. So it's, you don't meet me. That's good because you're not in an accident, that means, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a minute and maybe dig into your expertise on that side of things. I mean, you know, I've had lots of insurance brokers, agents, people on the show talking about insurance, but I've not had a insurance litigation attorney on the show. What things okay. do you see when you're looking at a property and you're looking to invest in it or bring capital or whatever part of the deal you're taking as a general partner, what do you look at from a risk perspective, maybe that other people would miss since you are in the litigation side of this?
You know what? To be honest, I really don't think to look into deeply as to the insurance litigation. I mean, I need to make sure that there's enough coverage, right? At least 1 million. But since we're dealing with multi-million dollar properties, I want to have umbrella policy of at least 3 to 5 million, right? Things like that, other members might miss it because they don't think umbrella policy is needed.
Right.
But personally, I think since we're dealing with big properties, I think umbrella policy is needed. So that's something that I'll probably look at.
Yeah. And do you see either property specific things that would lend themselves to, hey, this could be a future problem? Like when you look at deals, you say, hey, there's either something to be corrected, there's a structural deficiency, there is a risk hazard on the outside. I mean, I don't know what type, I'm not in your field, so I'm trying to ask the question in a way that makes sense. But I mean, do you see things inside of the deals that you say, hey, we need to fix this in order to de-risk what it is that we're buying?
To be frank, my field has very little to do with real estate. So I had to just start as a zero, no experience, so to say, if you tell me, like, be honest. There's nothing that as a litigation attorney that I look and then find some, you know, deficiencies up front or something that I can expect something to happen. But in general, I was trained to find some flaws in structures or things like that. So I will be very much involved with legal due diligence from the beginning in the acquisition side. How I was being part of the team was I will be communication channel in between all the attorneys. We had SEC, lender, seller, and our attorneys, four attorneys and myself, five. And I'll be in the middle of being the communication channel, collect all the information and deliver that to my team members to make it easy for them to digest. And then if any comments, I will collect and then I'll send it back to all the attorneys to make that process easier. So that's how I contributed to the acquisition side.
Yeah, that's a great contribution because there's so many of us that that just sounds a lot like work. So that's really cool. You've closed 546 doors, is that right?
Yeah, 567.
567. It's a lot of doors in a very short period of time. I know you said you joined Jake and Gino's group and that really kind of helped accelerate that. What else have you done that you would say, hey, I did this right and other people should emulate your step?
First, joining a mentorship group definitely expedited my journey because not only the education component, but also the network. Because I met all my partners through Jake and Gino and MIH Mastermind. These two different groups. I joined two different groups. And taking lots of actions. I call it ENA. Always do this education, networking, and action. So you got to do this almost at the same time. You got to do A and then B and C. To me, it was like, you got to do education. And as you educating yourself, you got to network because you got to find the potential partners and just potential investors, right? And then you can't just sit on it. You can't just know how to do it. You got to take actions and actually do it. Talk to the brokers, talk to the lenders. So all these basic things I try to do. And then I started virtual meetups in May of 2020. Because pandemic happened, I couldn't really go out and meet people, right? Because I used to meet all boring people like attorneys, but now I wanted to meet this exciting group of people, real estate investors, but then pandemic shut down
right. Everything.
So I started doing virtual meetups with a co-host that I met through Jake and Gino, Nico. And yeah, us just kick it off. And it was a lot of fun meeting lots of people, bringing a guest, including Rodcliffe. At the third month of starting, I think it was August 2020, we were able to have Rodcliffe as a guest and he absolutely killed it on fire. So things like that and being able to meet the people that you looked up to when you started your journey, like Joe Fellas, being able to talk to, I just got interviewed with Vinny Chopra. These people, before joining the game, I actually read their books, listened to their podcasts, and I was telling myself, someday I'm going to see these guys. And 2 years as I take the journey, it's actually happening. And I met one by one. And that was just amazing.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. Yes, it is. Tell me how you had the confidence. I mean, because you decided in December 2019, you said, I think it was, that, hey, I want to get involved in real estate. And then, you know, of course, the pandemic happens. So you've got 4 or 5 months of kind of learning about the space under your belt. Launching a meetup, how did you do that in a way without having that, like, hey, I don't really know anything about this, but I'm launching a meetup? How did you do that and attract a following towards that? I guess that's the real question.
Okay. I believe the fear comes from not knowing what you're dealing with. And given my background, I came from South Korea pretty much as at the age of almost like 18. So to me, I had no time. I had to make the decisions as soon as possible to move on to the next chapter or next goal of mine, right? And I was trained to do that. Like, if I think I have good enough amount of information, I got to make that speedy execution and move on. Otherwise, because it's always the thing that I have back on my mind. Like, I started late. So I had to develop that skill set of making the speedy execution because there's no such thing as a perfect plan. Otherwise, you're going to be just waiting for like years and years not doing anything.
Right.
So that's something that I pushed myself to do. So yes, it was only a couple of months that I was in the game, but through research, I had enough information that it was enough to convince myself to pull the trigger. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I like that. I like the idea that, maybe not the idea that you started late, but that you have to implement a speedy execution. Like, there's just no time to delay. Is this a meetup you're still hosting and running?
Yeah, it's a monthly. We started as a bi-weekly. Now it's monthly. Actually, it's tomorrow. It's about an hour. What we do is we bring a guest each time. Anyone from real estate investor, active or passive, someone who could talk about property management side, lenders or CPAs, syndication attorneys. And then we have like 10 to 15 minutes of icebreak networking time with people. And then we listen to their stories, the guest stories, and we learn. That's basically the format.
Great. I bet that has generated a tremendous amount of traction. Who are the people that typically come to that? Is that an active real estate investor? Is that people who are interested in real estate? Who typically do you find attend?
I think all sorts of. We've had active investors, passive investors, someone who never knew about this apartment investing, someone I just met on the street and we happened to talk about real estate investing. I gave him the information about the virtual meetup and he showed up. And yeah, just anyone, it's open to anyone. But the goal is to connect the people in the multifamily sectors. And we have a specific topic. So each time the pool are different, like they could choose to come or not. But we have maybe about 50% of regular attendees. And the 50% gets changed each time.
That's absolutely awesome. Would you recommend that to other people? Do you recommend that method of, I guess, self-educating and also building your network?
Oh, definitely. Because you only can go far if you do it yourself. Because this is not a solo practice, right? You need a team because yes, if you're dealing with a single family, your duplex or residential side, I think you could be Superman. You could do everything yourself. You can have that automation system. But if you want to come to the commercial side of multifamily, now, you know, the lender sees the deals differently. They see different credibility. They will see how as a team you can tackle down and if you could really close. So unless you network with people and find a partnership, you can only go so far. I always tell people, like, you got to have a team, especially when you start, because you don't have that credibility. Your 5 years of experience as a single family flipper or wholesaler or investor will not get you anywhere when you come to this side.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I love that. Have you worked with the same set of partners on every single deal?
Not every single deal, but couple. So first two, I have a team that I still manage together, and then we're looking to see another property together. And I have another team that would do syndication together as a team. So I have mainly two different teams, but consistently work together.
Right. Yeah. And that's not uncommon. I mean, especially gaining traction, that's not an uncommon, you know, way to go about it. What's the future hold for you? You're knocking it out of the park on the co-sponsor / co-GP side of things. Where do you want to go in the future? And then tell us how you intend on getting there.
I would just put my head down, just continue this journey of acquiring more passive income streams, enough to for me to transit into more full-time real estate side and reducing my attorney hours. But eventually, I want to create that system of having multifamily as a defense. I call it defense because more passive income, financial fortress. But I want to go into the short-term rental side, which I consider to be more offense and like sphere. So to me, multifamily is a shield and short-term rental will be a sphere or sword where I could get more offered cash flow with the cushion of having this passive income stream. And I mean, financial freedom and time freedom is what everyone wants. But also to me, it's more about setting a goal and achieving it and move on to the next. So that's a way of proof who I am to myself. And that's what I said when I came to this foreign country with meeting all the new people, new cultures, new language, and things like that, right?
Man, that's a lot to absorb in a very short time frame. Tell me why you define short-term rentals as offense. What do you see about that that is not a defensive play? And then what risks are involved?
Well, first of all, I'm not doing any short-term rental at this point. So I can't really tell from an expert perspective because I am not. But to me, Airbnbs and this corporate rentals looks more promising in terms of higher cash flow because you charge premiums as opposed to the passive income stream that you get from multifamily, which is extremely hard to grow. I still consider being a GP as an active income, not passive income. I consider the true passive income, if I can call it a true passive income, only comes from being a limited partner, a passive investor side, which I try my best to get to as well. Each time I go in as a GP, I try to invest as an LP too. As I make money from my active job and active GP position, I try to shove that into an LP position so that I could grow that small passive income stream over and over. And at one point, because I might not be able to do this much of a GP or this much of a job, right?
Right.
That's why I'm saying this is more defense. But once you have that passive income stream, for years down the road, you'll be, it's like fortress. It's not going to be easily fallen.
Right.
But the Airbnb corporate rental, again, I do see a lot of like premium charge and then good cash flow. So that's why I want to delve into it. So it's just my coining that as offense is just the way I see it as a lot more active upfront cash flow.
Do you see any risk? And again, I understand that, you know, you're not actively buying that yet, but it is something you're looking at. What risk do you see when you look at short-term rentals?
I don't want to call it a risk, but you're going to take up a lot more things yourself than the multifamily, because I think the team, the pool of team and number of partners will be smaller in Airbnb, unless you probably create like massive amount of portfolio, right? Whereas the multifamily, you have a good number of partners where you can rely on. So far, that's how I see it. But I don't know. I think it's just the term that gets me to act upon offense, more cash flow, defense, right. More of passive income.
Got it. I love it. Yosef, I love what you're doing. Thanks for breaking down really your story and, you know, where you've come in the legal world, in the multifamily world. And then, of course, what you're looking to do, how you differentiate between offense and defense. I love all those things. And then, you know, breaking down for us the benefits and how to start a meetup. That is absolutely fantastic. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
I try to be very active on social media. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Insta, or TikTok. I've been Yosef Yourbrosef. That's my handle, YOSEF YOURBROSEF. And shoot me a DM. I'm open to have a Zoom call and discuss, and I'm very easy to get in touch with.
Fantastic. Yosef, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Sam. I had a great time with you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.